This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Futuro.
On a hot Saturday morning earlier this year in Caguas, Puerto Rico, a city about 20 miles south of the capital of San Juan, community members greet each other as they browse the fresh produce at the Centro de Apoyo Mutuo, the Center for Mutual Aid. The large open space with high ceilings and concrete floors was once a Social Security building where local residents would apply for their cards and federal benefits. It had been abandoned for over 30 years. Then 2 months after Hurricane Maria, in November of 2017, community members came together and transformed the abandoned building. On the last Saturday of every month, the building's largest room becomes a food co-op called the Super Solidario, the Solidarity Supermarket. There's fresh yuca, avocado, passion fruit, ginger, turmeric, carrots. And by eliminating distributors, they're able to buy produce directly from local farmers and sell them at far more affordable prices than supermarkets. A song about the food co-op composed by a local artist is playing from a speaker. The Solidarity Supermarket, the song says, providing for the people so that food isn't scarce. The space is maintained by donations and local volunteers of all ages, such as 8-year-old Antonio, who came to shop with his mom and help out. He has a big smile, with front teeth that look like they recently grew in.
A mí me gusta venir, es bastante divertido. Estas son las góndolas.
Antonio's in front of the dry goods section, where people are encouraged to take what they need and pay what they can.
Habichuelas, arroz, salsa de tomate, y muchas cosas más.
As Antonio takes inventory, a group of young people in their 20s walk in singing and shaking maracas, announcing a composting workshop that's about to start. Okay. Greeting people at the entrance of the building is 79-year-old Luis Galarza. He says he got involved with the project right after the hurricane destroyed his house.
Yo cuando estoy haciendo esto, yo me siento como en la gloria. Porque qué bueno es dar. Qué bueno es ver la gente con sus caras sonrientes y agradecidos. ¿Eh? Eso no se compra con dinero.
He says finding community and the grateful smiles of his neighbors isn't something money can buy. As the elder Luis greets people entering the Super Solidario, he asks them to sign a petition. The abandoned Social Security building, where the Mutual Aid Center is located, was bought by a large American development company. Now, the developers want to sell the building, but the community says they're not leaving.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, for the 5th anniversary of Hurricane Maria, how mutual aid projects in Puerto Rico are bringing new visions for the future. Walking through the heart of Caguas, Puerto Rico, you'll notice a lot of abandoned buildings. There are storefronts with shattered glass. There's a house without a roof, an entire tree growing at its center. But if you walk into the town's center, you're going to notice something different. There's a mural of dark brown hands surrounded by fruits and vegetables. There's a community garden where the fence is lined by a massive passion fruit plant. A concrete building with the words Centro de Apoyo Mutuo painted on the front. Its large parking lot lined with tulsi and sunflowers. This is La Cuadra Social, an entire block of formerly abandoned spaces that have been repurposed by community members. According to studies by the Centro de Reconstrucción del Habitat, an organization that researches abandoned spaces in Puerto Rico, one in three homes on the island is vacant, and there are thousands of closed businesses and other properties that have not been properly counted. The amount of abandoned properties in Puerto Rico has everything to do with public policy on the island, which has disproportionately benefited wealthy American interests over the people of Puerto Rico. Austerity policies, like drastic cuts in pensions, education, and healthcare, have led to massive migration from the island over the last decade. Meanwhile, several initiatives such as Act 20 and Act 22 have provided tax exemptions to incentivize investors to move to the island. These dynamics of inequity were laid bare with the landfall of Hurricane Maria. After decades of cutting social programs, Puerto Ricans experienced the hurricane as a total disaster, revealing a government that did not have the capacity or the willingness to come to the aid of everyday people. Millionaires and billionaires on the island experienced the hurricane differently, with many laws and tax incentives allowing them to profit from the disaster and buy up land and property. But the hurricane also led to a sharp rise in projects like the Mutual Aid Center in Caguas, where the community came together to take over abandoned buildings and transform them into spaces that could meet their community's needs. But movements for autonomy and self-determination didn't start with Hurricane Maria. The Mutual Aid Center in Caguas is run by the group Comedores Sociales de Puerto Rico, which had been organizing around food justice on the island since 2013. The group of young organizers came together after the historic student strike of 2010. Producer Julia Rocha now takes us to the origins of this youth-led resistance movement and how their experience as student organizers allowed them to build together and respond to crisis.
The Monday after the food co-op day, the organizers with Comedores Sociales, known as Comedores for short, laugh and joke around as they take inventory of the produce that remained. Most of them are in their late 20s and early 30s, and many of them met when they were college students at the University of Puerto Rico. One of the organizers is 32-year-old Maricel Robles Gutierrez. Her infectious laugh echoes in the cavernous building. She's wearing a black shirt with the words, "Yo no como austeridad," I don't eat austerity. Maricel says she can divide her life into two chapters, before the University of Puerto Rico student strike of 2010 and after.
Para mí eso fue el antes y el después en mi vida.
The protest came after then-conservative governor Luis Fortuño implemented a series of austerity measures, firing thousands of public service employees and announcing he would cut $100 million from the university budget. But students banded together, shutting down and occupying all 11 University of Puerto Rico campuses.
Fue brutal porque tuvimos que organizar toda nuestra convivencia. Desde cuándo nos íbamos a reunir para tomar qué decisiones, cómo íbamos a comer, cómo íbamos a dormir.
Although the students were met with violent police repression, they remained in the campuses for 2 months. It was the first time Maricel experienced what it could look like to take over a space. She remembers it was like creating their own world within the barricaded entrances. They painted murals, organized their own community kitchens, held teach-ins, and shared the mundane responsibilities of upkeeping a college campus, like cleaning rooms and mowing the lawn.
Después de haber vivido eso y de sentir que teníamos ese poder tan grande, yo no quería salir de ahí. Yo no quería salir de ahí.
The strike was historic. Thousands of students of all backgrounds participated, many who had never engaged in activism before. News reports back then began to talk about the movement as the Generación Basta Ya, saying this would be the generation to say enough is enough. For Maricel, It was the first time she understood what collective power could feel like. One of the key organizers and spokespeople for the 2010 student strike was Giovanni Roberto, who would become a founding member of the Mutual Aid Center in Caguas.
Y la dignidad es real, ¿verdad? No es una idea. La dignidad se expresa en cosas.
Dignity is not an abstract concept, Giovanni says. Dignity is expressed in our access to resources. The experience of the university strike made Giovanni want to organize beyond protesting. He was tired of making demands on a government that he felt didn't represent him. Giovanni wanted to create alternatives.
Cuando llegamos al asunto directamente de la comida, una de las cosas que más se dice en Puerto Rico es que nos moriríamos de hambre. ¿Verdad? Aquí se dice así. Se dice así, como textual. En Puerto Rico nos moriríamos de hambre si los gringos se van.
One of the biggest issues that Giovanni saw was food insecurity. Giovanni says it's a common saying in Puerto Rico that without American occupation of the island, people would go hungry. But growing up in an impoverished family where he frequently faced food insecurity, Giovanni knew people were already going hungry. In Puerto Rico, over 43% of the population and over 57% of youth live under the poverty line. 40% receive the PAN, Programa de Asistencia Nutricional, a federal food stipend that Giovanni and many others say is not nearly enough to meet people's needs. Giovanni wanted to start a project that could bring students together through food.
Lo primero que aprendí fue a pedir ayuda, ¿no? Porque las primeras mesas era mi mamá y yo.
So in 2013, about 2 years after the historic strike, Giovanni started a solidarity-based food project at the university. At first, the whole operation was just Giovanni and his mom cooking together in their small kitchen and bringing trays of food to one of the University of Puerto Rico campuses in Calle, where students could pay what they want or take the food for free. On this day in 2013, Giovanni and his mom are cooking a chicken casserole with bright orange carrots.
Y más bien la mesa de comida era una excusa para iniciar conversación con la gente, para hablar de los problemas que estaban pasando en la isla y para plantearle a otra gente que se acercaba a la mesa pues la necesidad de organizar juntos.
Soon, students began to get involved, bringing donations and helping Giovanni cook and set up. But as the project got more attention, they were also harassed by university police, who claimed they didn't have the proper permits. The students were challenging power by insisting that food was a right, not a commodity. When the officer tells Giovanni he can't run a business without permits, Giovanni tries to explain that the exchange of food is not about a monetary transaction, but about addressing hunger. After the confrontation, university officials were forced to negotiate with the students, asking Giovanni to send a written proposal for the project. Giovanni decided to call the project Comedores Sociales de Puerto Rico.
Fue siendo más que un comedor.
That's Paola Aponte Cotto, who also became involved as a young university student.
Usábamos mucho la bomba, espacios de bombeo, y a la vez se hacían charlas para, pues, como que problematizar más los temas, no solamente el de la comida.
She says the project became more than just a space where people ate. Soon, the sounds of bomba en plena filled the air, as well as discussions about different political issues.
A partir de los incentivos de la Ley 22 y Ley 20, empiezan a venir a Puerto Rico un montón de hedge funds y empezaron a mudarse también a Puerto Rico personas millonarias.
In 2012, Act 22 was passed, which incentivized millionaires to buy property in Puerto Rico by virtually eliminating tax contributions. Maricel says it created a fiscal paradise for the wealthy.
En el 2016 fue la Junta de Control Fiscal que entró con la excusa de que la deuda pública estaba bien alta. Lo primero que empezaron a hacer la Junta fue el cierre de escuelas. Cerraron más de 300 escuelas.
Then in 2016, a fiscal control board, known colloquially as La Junta, became the governing body over Puerto Rico's budget. The board consists of 7 members, 6 appointed by the President of the United States with recommendation from congressional leadership from both political parties, and one member appointed by the governor of Puerto Rico. La Junta's actions led to funding cuts in social programs, such as healthcare, pensions, and education. Hundreds of schools were also closed.
Así que Puerto Rico se empieza a convertir poco a poco, va cambiando frente a nosotros. Pero no fue hasta el huracán María que te digo yo que fue el boom, el cantazo.
Maricel was seeing Puerto Rico change before her eyes, with government services diminishing and privatization continuing to expand. A crisis was brewing. And then came Hurricane Maria.
Coming up on Latino USA, Hurricane Maria hits Puerto Rico. With a complete lack of government response, the young organizers at Comedores decide to take matters into their own hands. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back. Before the break, we were listening to a story about the Comedores Sociales de Puerto Rico. It's a group of young people and college students in Puerto Rico who came together in 2013 to provide meals to students who faced food insecurity on campus. But the plate of food was just the beginning. It was providing a space where people could meet and where they began to organize. Then, in September of 2017, a Category 5 hurricane was set to hit the island. The organizers braced themselves for what this would mean and how they would respond. Producer Julia Rocha picks up this story from here.
Yo sentía que no se entendía lo que iba a pasar.
In the days leading up to the hurricane, Giovanni did his best to fortify the storage room where they kept the supplies for the community kitchen at the university. His friends told him he was getting too worked up, but Giovanni felt they weren't grasping the severity of the situation, especially since Hurricane Irma passed close to the island just days before, leading to power outages and water issues.
Y uno me dijo como que, pero tú tranquilo que no va a ser un tornado.
Giovanni, who's almost a decade older than most of the other organizers, remembers when Hurricane George hit the island in 1998. He recalls the feeling of the winds, which blew the roof off his house. And George was a Category 3 storm. Maria was predicted to be a Category 5 that would pass right through Puerto Rico.
Me sospechaba que iba a ser un desastre que yo nunca había visto. Y sentía mucha ansiedad por un lado, pero también mucha seguridad de que nos habíamos preparado.
When Giovanni saw the predictions for Maria, he felt it would be a disaster unlike anything he'd seen before. He secured their food supplies and contacted friends in the diaspora in the U.S. who were ready to help in the aftermath.
Así que recuerdo haber abrazado a Paola, que es mi compañera. Vivir con miedo no es una opción, así que era como, pues, lo que vaya a pasar, va a pasar.
Giovanni and Paola, who we heard from earlier, decided to weather the storm at Giovanni's mom's house. The night before the storm hit, Giovanni remembers hugging Paola, securing all of the windows, and going to sleep.
Uno siempre espera que va a tener teléfono para comunicarse. Pero María fue como fue un desastre total. O sea, desde que Puerto Rico es 100% distinto el día después.
Paola expected that even in the most dire emergency, she would at least have her phone to communicate. But the hurricane knocked down Puerto Rico's electrical grid and cell towers, leaving people without communication. She says Puerto Rico was a completely different reality the day after the hurricane. When it was safe to leave the house, Paola and Giovanni took their car to see what had happened.
Las montañas fueron impresionantes como no tenían ningún árbol.
Nos sorprendió mucho la cantidad de árboles que estaban en el suelo.
Giovanni and Paola remember what it felt like to look out the car window and see the mountains without a single tree. Trunks and branches strewn all over the highway. But the disaster wasn't just the hurricane. It was the response.
Lo que mató a la gente de verdad fue el después. Fue la espera constante de algo que nunca llegó.
Maricel, one of the organizers with Comedores, says what really killed people was the aftermath. What really led to countless deaths that eventually tallied into the thousands was waiting for aid that never came.
Escuchábamos noticias de que estaban enviando recursos, mucha gente de la diáspora, pero que no los estaban dejando pasar.
Maricel remembers hearing news that Puerto Ricans living in the mainland U.S. were sending supplies, but that government officials weren't letting them through.
¿Verdad? Llegaron helicópteros, llegaron cosas, pero no llegaba comida. Llegaba solamente la vigilancia.
She recalls the sound of helicopters flying overhead. She says the U.S. sent surveillance, but it didn't send food. It became clear that they couldn't wait for the government to respond. Although supermarkets were often empty and had huge lines, the team at Comedores still had the pantry with dry goods for the community kitchen at the university.
Porque obviamente en ese momento ir al supermercado era imposible, así que gracias a que nosotros teníamos comida como allí almacenada por el trabajo que hacemos, es que pudimos responder.
They saw that because of the work they did, they actually had the capacity to respond, and they wanted to figure out a way to use their food supply to cook for the community. Giovanni was familiar with the work of another group named Urbe a Pie, a group that was focusing on rescuing abandoned spaces in Caguas. The organization was founded in 2015 by 38-year-old Caguas resident Celso Mar. I spoke with Celso Mar at his desk inside a community art gallery that had once been a clothing store before the property was abandoned in 2010. Celso Mar is someone who speaks with his hands, his brightly painted nails drumming emphatically on the table as he tells me the story of how the project came together.
Urbe a Pie no nació inmediatamente, pero sí es parte de esas conversaciones. Mira, esto hay que cambiarlo, vamos a rescatar, que tú crees de este edificio, que tú crees del otro. Pues mucha gente se empezó a entusiasmar.
For years, Celso Mar had been noticing the way development in Caguas and all over the island favored big company interests, particularly retail companies from the United States. In the early 2000s, shopping malls started opening up outside of Caguas, hurting the city's small business community. Shops closed, people left, and real estate speculators began buying up properties, waiting for the right moment to sell, while often leaving those properties abandoned. Urbe a Pie wanted to bring community spaces back to Caguas. They began by occupying the abandoned clothing store and turning it into a gallery for local artists. But once they took over one space, Celso Mar says people kept approaching him with more and more ideas for community spaces. So a few days after the hurricane, and without any cell service, Giovanni and Paola went to Caguas looking for Celso Mar, to see if he could help them find a space where they could cook and serve food.
Di vueltas por el pueblo, gritando por las paredes, a ver dónde era que estaban metidos.
Gritando mal, por todos lados, mal. Y de momento mal aparece en uno de los balcones.
In the city center, Giovanni and Paola shouted Celso Mar's name, until finally he appeared on one of the balconies.
Y ahí pues le dijimos como que mira, estamos pensando activarnos por la emergencia, obviamente con lo que sabemos hacer, que es un comedor.
Paola and Giovanni told Celso Mar their idea, and the organizers called a meeting at Giovanni's mom's house. Food wasn't coming into the island at the level needed to meet the critical demand. Many people had electric stoves, and with the power out for months, had no way to cook for themselves.
Entonces nosotros le planteamos la idea de hacer un centro, y ya nosotros teníamos el nombre y todo, que es Centro de Apoyo Mutuo.
They wanted to call the space Centro de Apoyo Mutuo, the Mutual Aid Center.
Ese nombre que reflejara, que la gente pudiera como que conectar con él, de que no es solamente un espacio para ir y recibir comida, sino como que puede ser parte del espacio.
They wanted to make it clear that they weren't part of the government, that they were everyday people coming together to meet their own needs. So Somar told Giovanni and the other organizers about an abandoned cafeteria that Urbe a Pie had been using as a storage space. Giovanni remembers when he and the other organizers with Comedores went to see the space immediately after meeting with Seo Somar. The space was filled with plastic tables, folding chairs, paintings from the art gallery. Over the course of 3 days, the Comedores team and other community members cleared the space and began to build a kitchen.
El espacio estaba bien abandonado, así que fue montar una cocina improvisada, mover estufas que tuviera la gente cercana de allí mismo para moverlas, así cargándola.
Maricel remembers neighbors donating their stoves and volunteers coming to carry them by hand into the space. After 3 days of cleaning all day with dozens of volunteers, the team had transformed the abandoned cafeteria into a functioning community kitchen.
A las 12 del mediodía estaremos repartiendo almuerzo. Ven para que te integres.
With a megaphone, the organizers drove around Caguas, telling people where and when they could get food, what they could donate, and how they could get involved.
Ven para que te integres con la comunidad. Te esperamos.
Community members began lining up outside the space. As people waited for food, a video from the Comedores Facebook Live captured the words of a volunteer, explaining that this project is led by people in the community.
Esto que estamos haciendo aquí, nosotros mismos, la misma comunidad, quienes están cocinando, quienes están sirviendo, quienes están fregando, son sus vecinos, sus vecinas, son maestros, maestras. Y esto nos demuestra cómo tenemos la capacidad nosotros, como pueblo, de organizarnos.
Teachers, plumbers, retired folks, he says everyone's skills are needed.
Son maestros, enfermeros, lo que sea, es necesario.
Dozens of people began to get involved.
Fue juntar personas que usualmente no hubiesen trabajado juntas.
The project brought together all kinds of people. It was students working alongside elders. Electricians and plumbers came to offer their services to get the kitchen up and running. People with and without cooking experience also joined the effort.
Fue como un momento tan intenso que yo te puedo decir que todas las personas se sentían importantes y útiles en ese momento. Todas. Todas las personas. Como había tanto sufrimiento, o sea, yo todos los días yo lloraba con alguien que llegaba, con alguna historia, alguna muerte cercana, todas esas cosas. Eso era a llorar con las personas, a abrazarnos y a seguir trabajando.
It was an intense time. Maricel was crying every day with news of all the death and suffering. She says it was a time of crying together, comforting each other, and getting back to work. Despite the suffering, she says, everyone also felt useful and important. Although they were successfully serving food to the community every day from Monday to Friday, the process of actually cooking in the cafeteria was a bit complicated.
No había agua, había que caminar súper lejos para buscar agua y habían jóvenes que iban con candungos de agua yendo y viniendo para poder fregar y preparar comida.
Since there was no running water in the building, young volunteers moved back and forth all day, carrying buckets of water. Seeing that the work was getting too complicated in the small cafeteria space, organizers reached out to Seo Somar again and found a larger space just a few blocks away. This was the Social Security building that had been abandoned for decades. I asked some of the elders in the community if they remembered going to the building when it was open.
Sí, yo me iría aquí con la mamá mía. Yo recuerdo que, estoy hablando de muchos años atrás, 1957. Yo era un niño todavía.
They all gave me the same response of, that was way back when I was a kid, since the building had been closed for over 30 years. One day, after serving food to the community, Giovanni told the group of volunteers to meet inside the Social Security building. There, he asked the group to decide whether or not they would leave the smaller cafeteria and occupy the larger space of the Social Security building.
Yo hablé un poco de las posibles implicaciones, no sabemos quiénes son los dueños, sabemos que podrían aparecer esos dueños, y esto podría ser algo tenso en algún momento, pero estamos dispuestos a asumir el riesgo. Lo pregunté en voz alta para que todo el mundo contestara, ¿verdad? Y todo el mundo dijo que sí.
Standing in a circle, looking each other in the eye, Giovanni talked about the possible risks. They didn't know who the owners of the building were, and Giovanni knew that those owners could show up one day and demand their right to the space. He asked everyone if they were willing to take that risk. The answer was yes. The Social Security Building is a large one-story government office building with a big parking lot in the front.
Este espacio que estamos ahora mismo estaba lleno, completo de vinilos el piso, porque esto era una oficina, cubículo. Eso que tú ves allá como cocina no era una cocina, ese era el área de atender a la gente.
Maricel remembers that when they first entered the building, it still had cubicles and vinyl floors, all rotted and covered in mold after being abandoned for more than 30 years.
Tenía muchas cucarachas, pero millones probablemente, y había ratones, y había muchos gatos, y había mucha maleza en el techo.
Giovanni says the building had become the home to millions of cockroaches, hundreds of mice, and a few dozen cats. Not to mention, there was a small forest growing on the roof.
Hey, pues mira, estamos aquí metiéndole mano al can.
The volunteers decided to tackle the space room by room. Their first task was to clean the former reception area and turn it into a kitchen.
Eliminando todas estas paredes de gypsum board, esto era el seguro social.
As the volunteers cleared the space, they also got in touch with Michelle Alvarado Lebron, a lawyer with the Centro para la Reconstrucción del Habitat, an organization that supports communities that rescue abandoned spaces. Her first task, locate the owners.
Eso fue sumergirse en contratos, registro de propiedad, CRIM, llamar al municipio, visitar el registro en varias ocasiones, no lo encontraran, seguir insistiendo.
Michelle tried everything. She consulted the property registry multiple times, called the municipality, but for months, no one could locate the deed. Michelle works with many other spaces, like the Mutual Aid Center, that are creating community spaces in abandoned properties. I asked her about the number of abandoned properties in Puerto Rico.
Los números están asociados con una variedad de cosas. Están asociados con las realidades que estamos viviendo de los pasos de huracanes, de un gobierno que está proveyendo alternativas más al de afuera que al de adentro.
She says the level of abandonment can be attributed to numerous causes. People moving from the countryside to the city, laws like Act 20 and Act 22, and of course the destruction caused by the hurricane. But while Michelle says the hurricane did cause a lot of damage, she's also seen a sharp rise in community-led occupations of abandoned spaces after the disaster.
Lo que he visto es que la gente se reinventó, y se reinventó en comunidad. Y comenzaron a decir, espérate, yo estuve una semana sin comida, o un mes sin una fruta fresca, o 6 meses sin luz, y 4 sin agua. No. Y empezaron a repensar energía verde. Empezaron a repensar huertos comunitarios y a retomar esos espacios, a retomar esa retórica, esa narrativa y empoderarse.
Michelle explains that in the aftermath of the hurricane, after weeks without food, water, or electricity, people began to rethink strategies like community gardens, solar power, and the occupation of abandoned spaces.
El huracán, pues te puedo decir que lo que hizo fue como que sumar mucha más gente que de momento no sabía qué hacer, no hay electricidad, la comida escasea. Al llegar más gente, pues nos organizamos con mucha más fuerza.
That's Navarik Santos, who runs a community garden down the street from the Mutual Aid Center. He says that while there were other community-led occupations in the years prior, the hurricane mobilized many people to get involved, and these projects began to grow. The community garden he's standing in, called Huerto Feliz, the Garden of Happiness, was once an abandoned yard littered with trash. But after the hurricane, when it was rare to find fresh produce in the supermarkets, people took over the space, cleaning up the trash and creating garden beds with compost they made from food scraps and watered with collected rainwater.
Y pues lo hemos convertido en lo que puedes ver, hay variedad, ahora mismo tenemos tomate, aguacate.
In the lush patio space, Naborix is now growing tomatoes, avocados, and pineapples, along with dozens of medicinal herbs.
And while the strategy of rescuing abandoned spaces isn't unique to Caguas, the projects like the Mutual Aid Center in Caguas inspired people in other parts of the island to start their own projects, such as the Mutual Aid Center in Las Carolinas.
¡Epa! Mira, ahí está bueno ese almuerzo.
A group of about a dozen women, many of them over 60, occupied an abandoned schoolhouse. And to this day, they come together on Tuesdays and Thursdays to cook and distribute food to over 100 neighbors. Because although these mutual aid centers were responses to the aftermath of the hurricane, many of them have stayed open years after, becoming the first responders in the crises to come. When COVID-19 hit the island in 2020, Maricel says it was just like María. There was no comprehensive government response.
Obviamente, lo mismo que pasó con María. No hay respuesta del gobierno, no hay un plan claro.
Even though they could no longer serve food for fear of spreading the virus, the organizers at the Mutual Aid Center pivoted and decided to give out bags of groceries. They put out an ad on social media. Maricel says that within 20 minutes of publishing the ad on Facebook, her phone started to blow up. From 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., her only job was to take the never-ending stream of calls.
Un rol bien fuerte. O sea, si te digo, o sea, la gente llamaba llorando. Enviaban textos de SOS. Me estoy quedando sin comida.
All day, Maricel was hearing stories of people who were desperate for food. Along with the ad to receive aid, they also put out a call for donations.
Empezó a entrar el dinero de la gente que vio el post y dijo, yo no puedo hacer nada, estoy encerrada, pero yo quiero ayudar a que gente coma. Y si te digo que no, esa es la primera vez que nosotros tenemos una cuenta de banco con dinero.
Bank transfers from around the island and the diaspora in the U.S. began to pour in.
Que así mismo entraba el dinero y así mismo salía porque mientras más llegaba, más podíamos repartir.
Maricel says, just as quickly as the money came in, the money went out. As they bought more and more food for all the people who needed it.
100 compras semanales, 200 compras semanales, 300 compras semanales, 400 compras semanales. Llegamos hasta 700 compras semanales.
Maricel says they were able to grow their capacity, distributing hundreds of bags of groceries weekly in the height of the pandemic. But after weeks of working tirelessly to feed people and still no government response, they decided to organize a protest. On May 31st, 2020, the Comedores team started a car caravan and drove to the Department of the Family, the Department of Labor, and other government offices.
Aquí estamos mi esposo, mi hijo y yo, y hemos solicitado el desempleo. A mi esposo le salió un punto controversial, y a mi hijo no.
Standing in front of the Department of the Family, Giovanni and Paola read the testimonials of people who received the groceries they organized. As Giovanni went out into the street to speak to a police officer, he was arrested. Later that day, his friend brought him some food and a frozen water bottle to his holding cell. He began to drum, hitting the icy bottle against the concrete.
Y después de empezar a hacer ruido, pues se me ocurrió cantar y empezar a construir alguna consigna que de alguna manera le comunicara a los guardias que estaban por allí cerca. ¿Cuáles eran las razones y qué era lo que yo estaba haciendo?
Giovanni wanted to think of a chant that could communicate to the guards why he was there.
Yo lo que quiero es comida para los pobres, comida para los pobres. Entonces, y así repetía una y otra vez. Y la guardia empezó a tararearla. Y yo me di cuenta en ese momento y yo sabía que yo estaba venciendo.
He began to sing. What I want is food for the poor. Food for the poor. Repeating it over and over. One of the guards even started to sing along. Friends and supporters gathered to demand his release. Giovanni was released later that day, but the arrest made front page headlines, leading more and more people to learn about the Mutual Aid Center. Organizers continued to do their work from the Social Security building in Caguas. Then, in December of 2021, Maricel got a call from Michelle, the lawyer who was working on tracking down the owner of the building.
Que la abogada nos dice, miren lo que encontré. Encontré finalmente la escritura.
Michelle had finally found the deed of the property. Turns out, in 2015, the Morgan Reed Group, a large real estate development company in Puerto Rico, had bought the property. The company purchased the property for $108,000, which is only one-third of the market value, because they were able to pay cash. Morgan Reed also benefited from Act 22, the law that exempts wealthy individuals from capital gains taxes.
Porque en Puerto Rico, desde el huracán María para acá, desalojaron a mucha gente.
Maricel says that in the aftermath of the hurricane, many people were displaced or had to leave their homes. Many properties were repossessed by banks. And with policies like Act 20 and Act 22, large real estate companies have been able to profit from the disaster, buying up properties and waiting for the right moment to sell.
Las rentas de 500 subieron a 800, a 1,000, las de 800 a 1,200. En San Juan y en Santurce ahora mismo no se puede vivir.
With more and more real estate speculation, rents in Puerto Rico have become unpayable for Puerto Ricans. Data from the Federal Housing Financing Agency shows that housing prices in Puerto Rico have increased 24% in the last 2 years, while the median income for Puerto Ricans is just over $21,000. In September of 2021, the Mutual Aid Center in Caguas reached out to Morgan Reed to begin negotiations, but they didn't get a reply for months. Then, in December of 2021, Maricel received a call.
Que nos llama una persona diciendo, ay, ustedes están trabajando. Y no, yo, sí, disculpa, ¿a quién está buscando?
It was from someone who was looking for properties to buy. He'd seen the building in a realtor's catalog, but when he put the location on the GPS, he noticed it said Centro de Apoyo Mutuo. So he called the number on the page. Maricel explained who they were, and the person gave her the contact of the realtor who was selling the property on Morgan Reed's behalf. Through the realtors, Michelle was able to contact Brian Tenenbaum, the chief operating officer of Morgan Reed in Puerto Rico, and the person with the authority to donate or sell the building. I reached out to Brian Tenenbaum for an interview multiple times, but he never responded. He appears in this promotional video for Morgan Reed.
You do Act 22, it's a no-brainer. Not paying the federal taxes on that passive income and paying 0% here allows you to do so much more. One of the phrases that immediately was painted on every sign and billboard after Hurricane Maria was Puerto Rico se levanta. But I think the real phrase everybody needs to understand now is Puerto Rico por el futuro.
And that it's about Michelle points out that when Morgan Reed purchased the property where the Mutual Aid Center now stands, they paid $108,000 because the building itself was in complete disrepair, with the government recommending that the building be demolished. Then, in December of 2021, they were selling the building for $360,000.
Las inversiones, las mejoras, lo que hace ese edificio, el valor de ese edificio, se lo dio el rescate.
Michelle says the only reason they're able to sell the building at that price is because of all of the work the volunteers put in to rescue the space. Since that moment in December, the Mutual Aid Center in Caguas has been in negotiations with Morgan Reed. In late May of 2022, they held a space to update the community. People of all ages gathered in plastic chairs in the parking lot.
Una vez identificamos al titular, que es de una compañía, hicimos unos acercamientos.
Giovanni explained that Morgan Reed asked them to present them with an offer, and they did. As of now, both parties are still negotiating. One of the elders led the group in some chants, saying Puerto Rico is not for sale. The Mutual Aid Center is not for sale. The Mutual Aid Center defends itself.
Pero cuando uno rescata un espacio que está abandonado, indiscutiblemente se crea una nueva comunidad.
Maricel says that when you rescue an abandoned space, a new community is formed.
Que todos son hermanos. Como que tú te enfermas, yo te voy a llevar comida al hospital. Son mis amigos también. Tú sabes, yo pienso en mi círculo y mi círculo principal son todo este corillo que está aquí.
Paola says the people at the Mutual Aid Center are her family.
Nosotros hemos construido este edificio. Esta oficina donde estábamos no tenía ese techo que está ahí al lado. Ese techo lo hice yo con otro, ¿verdad? Con otra persona. Estos screens los hice yo, esa puerta la hice yo. Yo tengo mucha fe, tengo mucha seguridad de que esta propiedad va a ser nuestra porque lo es ya.
Giovanni Giovanni says they're not going to leave the building without a fight. He begins to look around the room, a small office space next to the kitchen. He points to the wooden roof, telling me how he built that roof himself. He points at the window panes, made from plastic tubing, which he also built. He says he has faith that the building will be theirs, because in so many ways, it already is.
This episode was produced by Julia Rocha. It was edited by Julio Ricardo Varela and mixed by Leah Shaw Dameron. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Marta Martinez, Daisy Contreras, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., Alejandra Salazar, and Patricia Zulbarán, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our editorial director is Fernanda Santos. Our director of engineering is Stephanie LeBeau. Our senior engineer is Julia Caruso. Our associate engineers are Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our marketing manager is Luis Luna. Special thanks to El Hijo de Borinquen and Derek Vasquez Rivera for providing music for this episode. And to Comedores Sociales de Puerto Rico for granting us access to their archives. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on social media and acuérdate, no te vayas. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Buenos días en todo Puerto Rico. Estamos en vivo desde el Camp de Caguas. Entrevistamos a Julia.